Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee back in the building. Oh, we got a lot to get to today as Trey Smith, it seems, will not be getting either version of the tag. That means the Bears may just have to spend a whole lot of money to get Trey Smith in the building. Is Joey Bosa an option for the Chicago Bears this offseason? Got to talk about that. And then, listen, Bears in line for two of the top 35 prospects. Top 30, actually, prospects on the free agency list. Will they get both of them? A lot of free agency talk on today's episode, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Lead a five-star view. Y'all know what to do. J-Mac, what's going on, my guy?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. Listen, I will say this, right? Basement studio, remodeling the basement. It looks great from this angle. You can't see the other angles that I'm tearing stuff out and putting stuff back in. It's cold down here, dog.
It's cold outside. I mean, what you expect? It's like when yesterday was like -9 degrees. Today it heated up a little bit. We're at, I think, 0 degrees. So it's good. In the words of the great Lovie Smith, bear weather, guys.
Bear weather, guys. Big guy.
Hey, listen. I'm not practicing, J-Mac. Yeah, I mean, this, we in the game. Yeah, I mean, I don't need bear weather.
I wouldn't be out there in this 0 degree weather either, man. I pulled an old school Devin Hester where we were outside when it's negative temperatures and he'd be in the Walter Payton Center catching kickoffs. You're like, damn, why is he in there catching kickoffs? And he go to the game, he returns to you. You say, oh, yeah, I see why. Keep him in there.
You gotta keep them warm, man. You gotta keep them legs warm.
Keep it go warm, baby.
Shout out to Devin, man. Did they let y'all play if it get cold like this in high school? What's the cutoff?
Yeah, I mean, well, the only time, like in the summertime, we had the heat wave like to make us cut practice shorter. I mean, we don't play, man. It's you know, luckily we don't have to play. The season's over.
You gotta play now, yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't want to be out there coaching, that's for sure, man. Forget that. It's a lot colder when you ain't moving around, you ain't playing the game. You're standing there managing the game and calling plays and stuff.
There's
like
J-Mac
that.
There's J-Mac out there. I'm going to need me a spider 2-wide banana.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, how do they play in this cold weather? How do they play in this cold weather?
Got a thing of hot hands in there, but no sleeves because he's trying to look tough. Hey, let's start the football conversation off here, J-Mac. Shout out to y'all for rocking with us as always, man. Because we saw this report come out from The Athletic and Pro Football Talk. It seems like the Bears may have the opportunity to go all in on Trey Smith if they want to, because the Chiefs are not expected to franchise or transition tag Trey Smith. Now, the thing about this is it does not mean that the Chiefs aren't going to try to retain him. Thought this was very interesting by The Athletic. It said that they could try to push for a 4 to 5 year contract. He entered the league along with Creed Humphreys, and the two have become best friends last year. Mm-hmm. Chiefs signed Humphrey to a league best center, the league's best center, to a 4 year contract that included guaranteed money in 25 and 26. Veach and Reed should offer similar deals to Smith, one that makes him one of the league's highest paid guards. J-Mac, I talked about this over on The Breeze, and I think this is where it's going to be tough for the Bears, but at least the opportunity is there. Mm-hmm. To me, this is not a, can you pay the money to get Trey Smith? This is a, can you pay the money to get him to want to walk away from a championship culture? I think you can get a Trey Smith if you're the Chiefs and say, listen, we need to build out the rest of this team, but you will go back to another Super Bowl. We need you in here at about 20 to 22. Other teams are going to offer you a little bit more than that. But if you come back here, you know you're going back to another Super Bowl. That's a tough, hard sell to beat, J-Mac.
It is, because you look at it, like you said, you're paying for him to leave stability, right? And I'm talking about stability in terms of the quarterback position. You have a known in Patrick Mahomes, right? Kansas City Chiefs been 3 Super Bowls. The past 3 years, they've been 3 Super Bowls. And you know what you have. You have a great head coach. You have a GM that's going to continue to put a championship-level team together, regardless who leaves in free agency, not right? Now you look at the Bears, and it's like, hey, unknown, young quarterback, new coach, who's my online coach, new system, is it worth me taking a little less to stay somewhere where I'm familiar? And that's going to be up to Trey Smith to make that type of decision.
It's not like the Bears don't have any comfortability, right? I mean, Darnell Wright, somebody who he spent 2 years with in college, he knows right. him there. Hasn't played with him in the league yet, but somebody that you have a relationship with. Also, you know, Ryan Poles was a part of the people that brought in Trey Smith. So yep. I think that you have that, right? But it, to tell somebody to – it's kind of the same conversation I'm having with Mekhi Becton, and everybody keeps going, well, they're never going to be able to pay these guys. It's like – I've seen some weird things in the NFL, right? Like all of a sudden there's restructures, some cans are kicked down the road, and then all of a sudden everybody's back and they run it for another Super Bowl run. But even if Trey Smith is in a, you know, I want to go get the bag, I want to go get more money, it's not like they can't offer him the bag. It's not, I mean, and there's a couple of options to him, right? You hope that Travis Kelce's career is not over, but if he decides yeah. to retire, you get $17 million back in cap space. I don't think that he's a simple walk away from the Chiefs kind of deal where we can't pay him. We've got to keep Trent McDuffie. It's a done right. deal. Whoever gets him, gets him. I think the Bears may be in a tough conversation where you may be setting the guard market really, really high. You may be talking about having to be in that $25 to $27 million range. And I think that kind of throws things off in the long run. But again, are you going to take the swing for the best guys on the market?
Definitely. And when you look at it, you know, you look at Trey Smith, the thing that I like about him is, right, as coaches, we talk about the abilities that matter most, right? And number one ability is accountability. But number the main thing I see with Trey Smith is availability, right?
Yeah.
A guy who's started all 80 regular season games since he's arrived in Kansas City back in, what, 2021, I think he was drafted in the sixth round
yeah.
With the Chiefs. So he started every game, so the availability is there. And what have we not had with our offensive line, right? Consistency, availability, right? You got Tevin yeah. Jenkins, who's only played 38 out of 68 possible career games, right? And you look at we know what happened with your guy on the other at the other guard spot. But it's just been so
what
much.
You mean? What?
That's your guy, man. Got, come on, that's your guy. Teddy you wanted Graham? Him. You yeah, wanted
you,
him.
You nicknamed him Teddy Graham. You know what I mean? It sounded like wanted
him,
though.
You wanted him in free agency. Last year we had training camp. There's my guy. There's my guy.
I don't I tell you one thing.
Get him up out of here. Get him up out of here. But
hey, off mic, we got to talk about the conversation of Big Cat and Thayer. Just standing over me, just watching Nate Davis on the
but
side.
Here's the thing, like, it's been, and we've seen it, Pat, it's been a carousel at that offensive line position every single year, right? No continuity, different guys in and out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, right? Yes, at times he held the ball too long. Yes, at times he was indecisive going through his progressions, right? But a lot of times he's running for his life, right? He's extending plays. And we saw him, you know, make special plays, extending plays, and doing the things that he did in college, but at the same time, you've got to give him some type of stability. We saw Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, right? The Eagles' defensive line just flat out completely whooped the Chiefs' offensive line, right? And Patrick Mahomes looked mortal. He didn't look like the superstar, the future Hall of Famer, like the, you know what I mean? He didn't look like the Patrick Mahomes that we're used to seeing because he didn't have time. Caleb yeah. didn't have time. And if you have an opportunity to make a big swing, right? And yeah, you're going to have to put that bag out there to convince Trey Smith to leave a quarterback of Patrick Mahomes' caliber, stability, head coach, infrastructure that's set up for consistent success to try to persuade him to come to the Bears. So the bag number's got to be right, but I think it's a no question, right? If you're talking about improving the offensive line, I think you got to go with, I think he's ranked the number two ranked free agent right now. You got to go out there and put that bag out there and try to bring him and help solidify the interior of this offensive line.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, you brought it up, right? Matt Bowen just put a great piece out a couple days ago, kind of talking about, yesterday. Was this yesterday? I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
Talking about, you know, the top 50 free agents out there and the Bears, the possibility of the Bears landing two of those. Trey Smith, number one name that pops up, what he said about him, talking about him as a top interior lineman on the market, said he won 75% or his run block win rate was 75%, ranked sixth among guards. Yep. Plus, he has the foot speed to mirror interior defenders and the strength at 6'6", 321 to anchor against bull rushes. Bears general manager Ryan Poles can make a splash move to rebuild the front office for Ben Johnson's new offense. The Bears allowed a league high 68 sacks in 2024. So this is an area that has to be addressed. I think I think all of Chicago is in on Trey Smith. I think a lot of the experts believe that Trey Smith to the Bears makes the most sense. I think now the tough conversation for a lot of Bears fans is, where's the line for Ryan Poles? Where's the spending limit for Ryan Poles? And listen, when you look at today, I don't know if you saw this going around Twitter, J-Mac, but 10% ticket price raises to season ticket holders. But in that, a note from Kevin Warren that essentially says, hey, we're going to be aggressive in free agency. Yeah. We're not going to sit back and wait. We're going to field a team that is worth these 10% raises. Now, it all sounds good on paper, but that does sound like you're going after the best of the best. And the one name we mentioned, Trey Smith, the other name on there was a Drew Dolman. Drew Dolman is, I mean, listen, what do you see from a Drew Dolman that intrigues you? Because to me, I think that he is the best center prospect on the market. Matt Bowen has him ranked 26 and also has him as best fit Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I got to go back and watch tape on him. But when you look at, like you said, Matt Bowen, you know, great coach, obviously. He's one of my guys, played in the league for a long time, does a great job analyzing film. He's got him ranked 20 as a 26th ranked prospect. And, you know, especially at a position that's we need here, center, a position that we saw struggles last year. You saw Coleman Shelton struggle in that position. You saw inconsistency there, right? So you bring a guy who's got good experience, who had a good season, and Drew Dolman, a guy who's known as a technician, not a real big guy. I think he's like 6'3", 300 pounds, but he's a guy that can come and he's a technician. And I know Matt Bowen also said his pass block win rate was 95.1%. So that means he's good in pass protection, something that we struggled with, you know, especially on the interior of this offensive line all last season with Caleb running around for his life and giving up 68 sacks. So if I have an opportunity to bring in an upgrade at center, the whole key to this offseason is upgrading positions of need, right? And the glaring position is this offensive line. So if I have an opportunity to go out there and possibly, you know, bring in a Drew Dolman and help solidify that center position, well, hey, you know what? Kevin Warren, you're raising tickets. Well, show us what you're spending the money on. You know what I'm saying? And let's not settle for mediocrity. Let's not settle for average like we did last year, right? Yes, we brought in a lot of offensive linemen last year, right? But they weren't blue chip guys. They weren't difference makers. You know what I'm saying? And we got to stop trying to put a Band-Aid over a big gash that requires stitches, right? We got to go out there and bring in guys that's going to be blue chip players, that's going to help solidify positions of need and not just try to put a Band-Aid over and say, hey, we brought in four guys, but those four guys, they're not difference makers. And that's something that we've continually done here in Chicago, right? Yes, you talk about Ryan Poles and you brought in guys that can make a difference on the perimeter. On the perimeter you have, right? We brought in all the shiny things. You brought in the receivers. You brought in, you know, a running back. But where it matters in the trenches, we haven't addressed that. And it's time to do so. So if you got to spend some money, you know, you got to spend some money. And when you see the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that just won the Super Bowl, right? Where did they dominate the Super Bowl, Pat? They dominated up front. Offensive and defensive line. They dominated the game. They won the game up front. So it's no secret in terms of how you're supposed to build a team in this league. It's no secret to what is the catalyst or what is the engine that makes great teams great or that makes Super Bowl caliber winning teams, right? It's the trenches. So we got to stop messing around, stop beating around the bush, and you got to open up that checkbook. You got to back up the Brinks truck, and you got to go out there and bring in some blue chip guys, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive line on that side of the ball as well.
I'm going to send you this thread on Twitter. This guy, Joey, I love his name, Joey Sandwich.
Joey Sandwich?
Joey Sandwich. I can't get more
Sandwich.
he did a full breakdown of week by week because there was that post where it said 27 combinations at any point in a game on the offensive line. He did a full breakdown week by week of every single what happened in the week to the offensive line, who was available, who was the starters, who finished the game. Man. And I think that's the important part and why it's such a good read. And so there's a little bit of a long thread, but it's such a good read when I went through it because you see the starts are fine almost, right? Some of the starts, it does get ugly, but like you look at it and like, okay, we've got some consistency here. The problem to me was, you mentioned, right, accountability is one of the best abilities, the availability of this team. How many guys weren't finishing games? How many guys weren't closing out? And that's one of my concerns with bringing back a guy like Tevin Jenkins. We talked about him not getting tagged yesterday. You know, to me, and J-Mac, you can speak to how important this is. I know everybody's got to be ready. You play in the NFL, be ready. But if you're not getting first team reps every week because a dude who's not finishing the game is getting first team reps, how prepared can you be to go up against that first team defense?
Yeah, you're not prepared. And the thing is, right, you talk about reps. And it's tough, right? Getting practice reps, right? It'll prepare you for what looks you're expecting to see, because it's always going to be something different that you didn't practice or that you didn't go over or that you didn't see on tape, because teams, they change things from week to week. They try to find the mismatches and take advantages of weaknesses, right? So the thing is, if you have a guy like Tevin Jenkins, right, that's taking majority of the first team reps all week in practice, Bambi gets hurt in the game, and now you insert a Matt Pryor or somebody like that who hasn't got the reps, it's tough because you didn't get the practice reps, right? Yeah, you're seeing what you can expect based upon film and based upon getting mental reps, watching Tevin Jenkins take his reps, but at the same time, that game speed is totally different from a practice rep, right? Practice rep is controlled. You know, you're seeing things. You're knowing what's coming. Game speed is a lot different. So you're not withstanding a bull rush in practice full speed like you're going to do in a game, right? You're seeing the stunts in practice that you may see, but you're not seeing them full speed like you would see in a game type tempo. So it's tough. You know, it's tough when you're getting half the reps and you're still not getting a true feel of what it can be like just because of the tempo of the practice. And we saw how practice was last year. It's no secret. I mean, we saw it in training camp. Like, the guys weren't hidden. There was no pads. And I know the NFL, you know, they have like all these rules now due to, you know, and the rules are good. It's set up for player safety. But at the same time, it's like with the offensive defensive line, right, you got to get your body right. You got to get your body ready to withstand the rigors of a long season. You got to get your body ready to play in a physical game. And if you're not getting those type of reps, if you're not getting that type of contact in practice, what's going to happen? You're going to go out there in the game and get your ass whooped. And we saw that every single week, Pat. Like you said, we saw guys not finishing games, right? Insert a backup. It is what it is.
Like, he don't know what's going on because he's like, I ain't been in here.
He ain't been in here. And at the same time, you know, he's getting his ass whipped by a blue chip defensive tackle or defensive end. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
You got the play calling issues on top of that.
Right. You got a rookie quarterback and you got play calling issues. Yeah. You know, it was tough. It was disaster all the way around. And, you know, like I said, we're talking about free agency now. And, you know, it's time for the Bears, right? You didn't beat around the bush. You went out and paid the coach that you wanted. Bam. Congratulations. I salute you for that. Let's see how it works out. He's building a staff. You're trying to bring in the best assistants that you can to help build a culture, right? To help establish a culture, right? Guys who are culture builders who can, you know, enable players to uphold that culture, right? Yeah. But at the same time, you're bringing in guys to help develop a roster to help you get back to the playoffs. So if we're going to do that, we spent the bag on the coach. Now let's go get the guys that he needs to make this thing work. Let's not go out there and try to patchwork this thing, right? Let's go out there and go get the best guys that fit our system, the best guys we feel that's a fit in our locker room that can help us take the next step of reaching our goal. And that's just getting to the damn playoffs, or that's just being competitive in the NFC North, first and foremost.
Yeah, and I talked about this when I was on the Breeze. Somebody brought up the comment and said, you know, you don't want to overspend. You don't want to, like, there's other avenues that you can go, right? Maybe you go with a Ryan Kelly, who's also a really good center, instead of a Drew Dolman, and you draft your center of the future in the draft, and you have still more cap space to make moves here because you have all of these holes that could be a problem for you. I think here's my issue with that is, you've done the let's get a bridge guy in here until the next guy is ready experiment. I have guys who are available to me this season who right now I've seen without great tackle work next to them, without great guard work next to them, be good in Drew Dolman and in Trey Smith. Also, I've seen them be available. Now, Dolman did have the ankle injury this season, but up until then, he's been a healthy guy just about every season, 17 games, 14 games, 9 games this season, dealt with the ankle injury. I believe that was the start of the season, finished out the season strong. Trey Smith has been the pinnacle of health out here, 17 games, 16 games, 17. What does that small change do for Caleb Williams? What does that small change do for, heck, I'll even throw Braxton Jones in there, right? A lot of turmoil next to Braxton Jones. As much flack as I give him, every time he turned to the right, he got a new dude standing next to him by the end of the game.
100%.
That is going to affect you. And so to me, like, I think there are other avenues that you can go, but if you can have guaranteed answers at a spot, I think it's very tough to leave this free agency without some of those guaranteed answers. And like I said, the biggest question is, it's not like the Bears are the only team in the bidding. How much are you willing to spend for some of those guaranteed answers?
Yeah, 100%. And looking at a position, right, a position group in which, you know, an offensive line, which communication is key. Like, it's the most important thing, the continuity, the communication, yeah. You know, working with the guy next to you, understanding, you know, what each other's role in terms of protection is, right? The various protections that we may be running. Like, you know, at Braxton Jones, I got to know what my left guard is doing, because we got to work together a lot of times when we're looking at stunts and twists and things of that nature. All these things that we're seeing, right? And you're getting different guys in and out of the lineup. The communication's off, right? The continuity is a little bit off. So what happens, right? That leads to 68 sacks, right? That leads to a carousel at the offensive line position. But yeah. When you have guys on the free agent market that have shown you that they've been available, right? 80 straight games for Trey Smith, right? You talked about Drew Dolman being in the lineup. You know what I'm saying? Those are things that, hey, you know what? I understand we don't want to pay more for, but at the same time, like, if you may have to pay a little more to get something that you know is that's going to be consistent, that's a known, right? If I pay a little high, if I overpay a little bit for a Trey Smith, well, guess what? At least I know I have a guard, an upgraded guard, who's a playmaker that's going to be in the lineup each and every week. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you bring in a coach and his main job is to help accelerate and help the development of Caleb Williams, right? Well, how am I going to accelerate that development? How am I going to build that confidence within my quarterback? Got to protect him, right? So I've got to spend a little bit to make sure that my quarterback's upright, to make sure that we can accelerate his development. Well, then I got to take care of, you know what I got to take care of, and I may have to spend a little bit more for a guy like Trey Smith, a guy like Drew yeah. Dolman, or like you said, maybe, you know, a possibility even Ryan Kelly at the center position as well.
Yeah, and I think here's the thing too, J-Mac, that people aren't looking at. If you spend more this offseason, and you are going to spend more in the long term, Darnell Wright, 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I can't imagine how you deal with high school kids all day and just see like what year they born. 2001 is nuts to me.
It's crazy, right?
2001 is nuts to me. I'm sure for you, 1994 is nuts for you. When you like, but 23, Trey Smith, 25, Drew Dolman, 26. You're not investing in the next 3 years of the offensive line, the next 5 years of the offensive line. Realistically speaking, if it works, you're going to be re-signing these guys to another contract. You're going to be signing Darnell Wright. The hope is that you're drafting a young player to come in and possibly play left guard for you and or left tackle for you. You're talking about possibly having an offensive line that you could be paying for the next 8 years with Caleb Williams and have those guys in place long term. Those are the things where it's, if you see, and to me, Dolman's a very, very interesting one, because he essentially comes in at that Coleman Shelton height and weight, which yeah. got a little bit shorter than Coleman Shelton.
Yeah.
But he just knows how to move his body, knows how to recover on a block if he does get beat, knows where to be, knows positionally how to anchor his body. I said this even, J-Mac. You bring Dolman in, I'd be interested in keeping Coleman Shelton as a backup. Just to see, because Coleman Shelton, I think, is 26, 27 years old as well. Just to see, like, if Drew Dolman could show him, hey, brother, you know, if you do this, like, they don't push you over?
Yeah.
You know, if you get your body in front of them, they don't, you know what I mean? Because Coleman Shelton did, what did we say last year? He knows the coverage. He's pointing guys out. He knows where the blitzes are coming. He knows who to block. He knows when to block. He knows how to block. He just gets pushed over. You know, you can create some depth here, I even think, by bringing some of these names in. And so I'm excited by what the offensive line could hold for the Chicago Bears coming up this season. I do want to keep this thing moving along, though, because we got a lot more to get into on this podcast. And me and J-Mac will talk all day. I want to get your thoughts on this, J-Mac, as we move along. Let us know you guys' thoughts in the comments below as well. Because I would say a big name that maybe has underwhelmed over the last few seasons has become available if he should be cut. Now, this was a rumor last season, and they end up working out some contract details that did end up keeping him around for another season. But Joey Bosa is a name that has come up as a possible camp cut heading into this season. Now, he gets a $12.36 million bonus of his $25.36 million contract. I believe that kicks in next week. So the Chargers kind of are pressed to make a decision here if they don't want to end up paying him. If they do end up moving on from Joey Bosa, we've talked about that opposite edge rusher a ton this offseason as well. You want to go O-line, you want to go D-line. Is Joey Bosa a name that still interests you?
I mean, I just look at it. I got to go back and look at, I mean, the injury history has been his biggest thing, right? His
Achilles tendon has
been, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup, you know, highly productive guy when healthy. He's got all the ability in the world. He's got all the talent in the world. But I just look at now, I mean, we're in a situation now to where I think with this Bears team, we've had so many injuries that have plagued us throughout the past few years. And, you know, I think you got to try to find guys that have a track record of being available, right? And I don't think Joey Bosa's track record shows that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to spend for a guy who's available half the time. You know what I mean? And then having the opportunity, well, look, like you know, in this draft, the top of the draft, there's a lot of good, you know, defensive ends and edge guys that you could possibly get as well that could generate pressure or that can, you know, create pressure that can help you up that sack total. And especially if you get some of the guys we just talked about in the offensive line in free agency, well, now I can address, you know, the defensive side of the ball in the draft, right? There's guys, you know, we talked about in this draft. I mean, there's, you know, Abdul Carter. I don't know if he'll be there.
He might be top three. He might be top three. Mason Graham, though.
But, I mean, there's James Pierce. There's the kid from Marshall, Mike Green, I think. Isn't that Mike Green from Marshall?
Mike Green, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Green could be there. So I don't know. You know, I wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? I just think the availability scares me. He's a great player, but I just worry about the health. You know, if I'm gonna make a swing on the defense side of the ball, then I'm gonna go with Josh Sweat from Philly. You know, a guy who's played well. He had 8 sacks last year. He had another 2.5 sacks in the Super Bowl. Just completely, you know, took over the Super Bowl at times. Dominated, you know, his matchups. And I think he has, right now, I think he's more of an ascending player than Joey Bosa. You know, I think Joey Bosa, due to injury, he's more of a descending player, in my opinion. So, you know, if I'm going to take a swing, I'm going to take a swing at a player that's ascending and a player that's, you know, shows the ability to be able to do everything you want him to do in terms of getting to the quarterback.
I think the only thing about Bosa that is interesting is something you talked about earlier, right? He's a budget fix. You're probably not paying Joey Bosa $30 million to walk through the door. You know what I mean? You're probably talking about him being in more of the, I mean, if I'm a GM, I'm like, I got 15 to 18 for you. And I'm leaning heavily on the 15 side of things. And he may say, look, that's disrespectful. I'm gonna go over here. I'm gonna move. I think you're living in that situation, right? It's okay for you to not come here and play the work version of this game because, you know, this is a, We're trying to find a guy who is a long-term answer, and we're taking a chance on you at a budget price that maybe you finally get yourself healthy there. I understand the full concerns there. The only thing that I think with both with a Joey Bosa and a Josh Sweat, if I'm going after one of these edge rushers, I think, I know Montez, right, dealt with some injury last year, and maybe he can be bigger than what we saw last season, but I think you're looking for your number one guy. I think you're looking for the number one guy on that defense, your number one edge rusher on that defense, your number one quarterback pressure on that defense because, you know, Joey Bosa comes in, he should be that guy. He may not be anymore. I'm kind of in this similar situation where I'm relying heavily on Montez and just kind of hoping somebody can take some pressure off of him, which you do need to do that as well. I think Josh Sweat kind of brings that same kind of cachet to me. I maybe they're neck and neck, a little bit more even there when both are healthy. I think he would bring some pressure, but you're not talking about to me bringing in the guy who's going to be the number one guy. For me, if you're looking at the edge rusher, I go the route that you talked about. Either go in the draft, go high in the draft. I love Mason Graham. I think he is going to be one of those main guys in the middle. I love Abdul Carter. I don't think we'll get high enough to get him.
Yeah.
But even if you're picking up the phone to possibly trade up for them, I'm picking up the phone and saying, is Myles Garrett really available?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at some of the articles, I looked at the prediction article that predicted, you know, some interesting things in the Caleb and Jaden debate that we'll get into here. But the one thing they predicted was, you know, Myles Garrett to the Lions. Oof.
Please,
we
no.
Got my, if
please
we got no. Myles Garrett to the Lions, hey, if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm picking right. up the phone, be like, what do I got to send?
right.
I'm not letting my quarterback have to face him for the next 5 years. What am I sending?
Yeah. It's interesting, too. You know, it's just one thing I think when you look at, you know, Josh Sweat, right? Look at his productivity, but you look at the talent around him on that defensive line as well. Yeah. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of talent, Nolan Smith, a lot of talent on the defensive line that's been built throughout the years, right? So look at the way the Eagles have built this, right? I mean, you got Josh Sweat, and they just basically just drafted from Georgia. Jordan Davis. Oh, let's take Jalen Carter.
Bro, that's the key.
Let's take Nolan Smith. You know what I'm saying?
Just keep drafting from Georgia every year. You will get it right more than you get it wrong.
And look at so I'm saying the Eagles, look at how they built their defensive line. Now let's go to a team in our division, the Detroit Lions. How'd they build our offensive line? But let's just keep drafting guys in the first round. You know what I'm saying? On our offensive line. You know, difference makers, guys who we feel that can come in and be key cogs and pillars of this offensive line, guys who are the engine of our offense, right? Same thing in Philly on the flip side, right? Guys who are going to be the engine or the fuel for our defense. You know, guys that just in the Super Bowl just completely dismantled the Chiefs offense because they were getting consistent pressure on Patrick Mahomes, right? It just wasn't coming from one area on the defensive line, right? It was coming from the interior and on the edges. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
not a single blitz either.
That's what I'm saying. We don't even got a pressure. We can rush four, you know what I'm saying, and drop seven. Like, come on, man. Like, when you have that ability, right, when you have guys that have that ability to transcend your scheme and to make it easy, and it makes it hard for what I mean, Patrick Mahomes dropping back, and there's seven guys,
bro,
you know, in zone coverage. Like,
at what point did you kind of I know this is Super Bowl talking is old, but like, at what point did you realize, oh, they don't have a chance? Because after the first quarter, I was like, I don't think they blitzed yet.
Yeah.
And then I watched the second quarter, and I was like, they haven't blitzed at all in the first half, dog. If they did, it was one or two times. And by the end, you know, it's none. I'm like, oh, they in trouble. Like, I was in the second quarter. I was like, oh, they in trouble. They're not blitzing. Everybody's just falling over.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a dominant defensive front, you can run any scheme.
Yeah.
When you have the ability to rush, it's easy to cover. Talk about rush and cover. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you've got a consistent pass rush. Doesn't matter what – I mean, we can get to the quarterback with four. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. You know, it's something that we can't do. That's why we're bringing second-level pressure. That's why
we can't get to the quarterback with five and six.
But that's what I mean. That's why you consistently see second-level pressure. You see TJ or Tremaine coming. You know what I mean? Then we see third-level pressure. We used to see Jaquan Brisker in the box. See Kyler Gordon coming off the edge. But what happens is when you get these elite quarterbacks, right, they understand where pressure's coming from, and they're going to beat that pressure, right, by getting the ball out, or off the great offensive coordinators are going to beat the rush with making sure they have a route coming where that pressure's coming from, you know, replacing that blitzer. So it makes it tough. And I mean, like we're talking about, you know, being able to find a right fit opposite Montez Sweat to generate pressure, right? Because you look at what we got right now. You got DeMarcus Walker. You've got Daniel Hardy, and we got the young guy, Austin Booker, we drafted last year, you know, who's got a lot of promise, still needs help with development, but he's got some of the traits that you like in terms of a pass rusher, but he's got to get more development. You know what I mean? And in this league, it's about winning now. You know what I mean? It's about producing now, and the Bears have been in this situation year after year where we've been a disappointment. And we've been the punchline of a lot of jokes in the NFL for a long time. So, I mean, it's no secret. And we keep talking about building a consistent winner. We talk about we want to win the Super Bowl. We want to win the NFC North, right? But some of the things that we have done in the past in terms of the offseason, it doesn't show that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So this offseason, like I said, I'm not going to get overly optimistic. I'm not going to down anybody. But we've shown that we're willing to spend for a coach who we believe can help us take that next step. So now what's the next step? We're going to have to spend to get players in here to make this thing go, right? Because a coach ain't playing no game. It's all about the players, right? The players is going to determine the success of this team. So we got to make sure we're getting the right players via draft, via free agency, that's the right fit in terms of culture builders, but also are available to produce every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever day we're playing on the football field.
So where do you think, because you brought something up that's interesting, right? We haven't shown a free agency that we're really trying to make moves in the right direction. But then we talk about teams like the Eagles. We talk about teams like the Chiefs. Heck, I'll even throw some of the stuff that Atlanta has done in there, right? Drew Dolman's a fourth round pick, 114th pick in the NFL draft. Trey Smith is a sixth round pick, 226th pick in the draft. I'm not saying don't go get him. Go get him, please. But do you still have the time if you're Ryan Poles, because I think Ben Johnson's here no matter what. If you're Ryan Poles, do you still have the time to try and build this thing through the draft if you want to? Oh, we missed out on Trey Smith. That doesn't mean we're going to get Mekhi Becton. That means we need to draft a guard that is going to be in there, that is going to be able to play like Trey Smith. Do you still have the time to do that? Or is this a, hey, but you got this quarterback, you need to go spend money now?
Yeah, I think honestly, you know, at the same time, I think you have to go out there and try to get the big names, right? And because it's a win now league, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you got to make sure, and I know Ben Johnson right now is, he's trying to make sure he's bringing in the right assistants, right? Absolutely. That are really good developers, right, of talent, right? And that's the main thing, right? You see, we'll go back to the Chiefs. And yes, they just lost the Super Bowl, but guess what? They were in the Super Bowl, and they lost a lot of guys. Every year, we're like, dang, they got no receivers. Dang, they don't have this, they don't have that. But guess what? Somebody steps in who's been on that roster, who's maybe been on that practice squad, who's been a second-string guy, third-string guy, that's been developed. They do a great job of developing the talent that they have. And I think that the Bears, when you look at it, I don't think we've done a good job of developing our second-string and third-string players, right? And that's where the coaching staff comes in. We've got to do better in terms of development. But in terms of Ryan Poles, we got to make sure that we are taking the swings in terms of bringing in the blue chip guys when we have an opportunity to do it, and not try to bring in a guy or patchwork guys who we feel like, okay, we can get by with this guy. No, you've got to go out there and you've got to bring in the guys that can help you right now, but you also got to make sure you have the coaching staff that can help develop the guys that are behind the upper echelon guys on this roster.
Yeah, no, 100%. I love that. And that's what I talked about this a little bit before. The thing that gives me confidence in Ben Johnson is not just Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson got to learn to be a coach. I'm going to tell y'all this right now. There's going to be a timeout this season that pisses you off.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a challenge flag this season that pisses you off. There's going to be a play call to the outside in a moment where you feel it should have went inside that pisses you. You want to know why? Because he's a new head coach. He's going to go through the bumps and bruises of figuring out how to be a new head coach. But is that made a little bit easier because I've got somebody who was a coordinator that became a head coach? In Dennis Allen. Does it become a little bit easier because I've got Antoine Randall in the building, who's phenomenal, not only just a great NFL player, but also a phenomenal developer of talent, a phenomenal developer of Ben Johnson's system. Like it's not just that, oh, I got Al Harris on the other side coming in, who's developed some great DBs as well. I've got Eric Bieniemy in the running back room. Like, that's where it gives me the confidence in Ben Johnson that this is going to work. And I'm like you, J-Mac, we jaded. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about it, right? The moves the Bears have made, we should be sitting here singing the 10-win praises. We jaded. We've done that. We've been excited. We've been all in. Oh, this is going to be different. Flew's got a beard. You know what I mean? And it got us two less wins, less than what we had the season before.
Yeah. He's developed a staff, right, that has seen success, that understands what it takes to be successful, but that have also been mentored by successful coaches, right? You talk about Eric Bieniemy. He's been under Andy Reid, right? He's been a part of great teams with the Chiefs. He's seen how things are supposed to look in order to reach the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And those are things that, you know, Ben Johnson, you've been a part of a culture change and a complete 360 of an organization that was the bottom of the barrel in the Detroit Lions, and now they're one of the top teams in the NFC. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember playing Detroit. They were 0-16. I remember them being the laughing stock. I remember going on the road and be like, oh, man, we playing Detroit this week? Yeah. chalk it up. It's a bye week.
Change the pregame meal? Did you eat a little heavier pregame if it was Detroit?
But you knew you go to Detroit. Oh, well, we got Detroit twice. That's two wins. We know we got those two wins. Check that off the box right now. Check that off the schedule. Detroit twice. That's two. We know we're going to win two games.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? But you have Ben Johnson that's been a part of that revitalization and that culture change, right? You've got Antoine Randall-El, a guy who's played good football as a veteran in this league, but also as a culture builder, in which we've seen last year with the way he handled his own players, but he's also been a part of that revitalization. You know what I'm saying? So it's Al Harris, the guy who, you know, I've been around for a long time, guy who I played against and played with my rookie year, a guy who I looked up to, who was an awesome player, but it's also a no-nonsense football culture-building guy, right?
Yeah.
And it's not about it's about the coaches setting that culture, but then the players upholding that culture, because it's about the players. If the coaches set it, but the players don't follow and uphold it, it's going to fall apart. But I think you have guys in that building who are great coaches, great developers, and great culture builders, right? So that's the start. You know what I mean? That's the start. Now, we're talking about free agency. You got to go out there, you may have to spend a little bit to get the guys in the building who you feel can help you take that next step in terms of culture, their production on the field, but also being guys that can help aid in development of the guys that may be behind them, of those backups, the second string guy, the third string guys, because those guys are just as important as the coach in terms of accelerating the development of the players as well.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be really fun to see kind of how the Bears not only bring guys in, but also mold some of the guys that are here. The part I'm most excited to see is who's the guy that takes some of the tutelage of these guys that are coming in and changes their game. Is it going to be an Austin Booker? Is it for the love of God, is it a Noah Sewell? How long have we been hearing his name here? And I mean, just
injuries, man. Injuries.
It's time on the field. It's time on the field too. But even when he's on the field, he just hasn't seemed engaged. Hasn't seemed like somebody you can go to. Is it Jack Sanborn? Jack Sanborn, we've kind of just been like, all right, he's here. This is who he's going to be. Can he take a step in the right direction? So I'm going to be real interested to see kind of how that all plays out. It's funny you brought up Detroit two wins a year. I saw this on Twitter yesterday. And this was the 2012 season. It was Megatron's best season, but it really showed just like no matter who they put out, no matter how great things were going, we always had their number.
Yeah. I mean,
Megatron had 2,000 yards and was dominant in just about every game.
34 yards.
He went up against Peanut.
34 yards.
34 yards the first time, 11 targets, 3 receptions. And then that last game, a little bit better of a game, 72 yards, receptions, 14 yards. Did not score a touchdown in either game.
This is what my guys do at practice, the young guys. Put that seatbelt on. But you know, the funny thing is, so here's the thing too, right? Since we're talking about Detroit and we're a Bears podcast, so we're just talking about Bears podcast, all right? But Dan Campbell was a part of that team that was 0-16. You know what I'm saying? He was on that team as a tight end. And, you know, he's seen the way it was. Like, you know, that stays with you. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's good that we have coaches that have seen success, that have been a part of failures and success, you know, in our building right now, that have been a part of a turnaround, that understand what it takes to turn things around. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a step in the right direction. You know, I feel that having Ben Johnson, I know we're going to segue to this, and this might be the segue for it in there terms of pairing him with Caleb Williams, you know, and we're always going to compare Caleb. We're always going to compare Jaden just because Caleb was number one. Caleb was drafted. Jaden was drafted number two, right? You look at it right now. Without a doubt, Jaden Daniels had a better year. Rookie of the year, made the Pro Bowl. I mean, look what he did in the playoffs. Two road victories, two big upsets, and went to Detroit and really just dominated, balled out that game. You know what I mean? But when you look at the infrastructure, right, in terms of these two quarterbacks, Jaden, good offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, right, understands what Jaden Daniels has in his toolbox, understands what makes him successful, and I'm going to design my offense around that to make sure that my quarterback is playing, you know, at a good rate. He's playing at a rate that accentuates his skill set, right? Caleb Williams, right? We understand it was a lot of times some of the things was his fault. Holding the ball. I think he had 10 fumbles last year, right? We can point out all the negatives.
Okay? BFF gives him 17. They attribute 17 sacks to him, which
right.
I'll agree with that. I don't agree with everything, PFF. I'll agree with that. A lot of sacks.
Yeah, we can agree with it. But here's the thing. Instability. And it's not an excuse. It's evident. Instability. How many offensive coordinators do we have this year? Three, right? Do we not have three? Three guys had the title of offensive coordinator this year, yeah. Right? I mean, and then you look at the head coaching change. You look at the offensive line inconsistency there. You know what I mean? So with what he was able to do, with having the instability, not having a solid infrastructure, not having adequate play calls, you know, throughout the game or adequate game plans consistently week in and week out, what he was able to do, the potential is there. So I think when you look at these two quarterbacks, you can't definitely just judge them off of this year, right? So if you were to, yes, Jaden Daniels is out the gate first, right? He's out the gate first. But I think you're going to have to look down the line and look at it 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and really compare, you know, where their careers are at that time.
What I thought was interesting, right, and the reason that we bring this up is because ESPN dropped an article yesterday with their 2025 predictions. Listen, it's never too early to start predicting, I guess, J-Mac. So
it's Super Bowl season. That's all season.
Super Bowl just ended. What are we doing? Who's winning the 2025 Super Bowl?
It's all about predictions in the off season.
Hey,
scenarios, so, creating content.
Couple of interesting predictions here. Dan Graziano, somebody who I respect as an analyst. There's a couple of these mugs in here where I'm like, all right, bro. Everybody gets their respect, but like.
You say you suspect him being an analyst?
There's some you suspect and there's some you respect. You know what I mean? I respect Graziano as an analyst.
Oh, man.
He said that he's got Jaden Daniels as next year's MVP. Said no team has repeated as NFC East champions in 20 years. So since the Eagles can't win the division, I say Washington builds on Daniels' rookie season and continues to ascend quickly. Now, first things first, that's nuts by Graziano to say that, like, the Eagles can't repeat next season.
Right. So, why not?
But again, we're predicting. He probably looking at this going, they ain't going to win. So, all right, here we go. Yeah, I mean, like, just a little facetious in that. But if we get to next season, and I think you have to take storylines into account with this as well, and Caleb Williams is still clearly behind Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels wins the MVP. And I say clearly behind because I'm going to be honest with you. The NFL wants Chicago. They need Chicago to be relevant. So if it's close, advantage will be Caleb. If it is neck and neck, or Caleb's like here and Jaden's here, advantage will be Caleb. Unfortunately, because of the city that he's in, we know how the storylines play into some of this stuff. We know, right, when all the voting comes down. For Jaden to win an MVP after winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, I would be at the end of the season, I'm assuming we're doing everything we just talked about here, going, we may have picked the wrong
one. Without a doubt, yeah.
We might be in a little bit of trouble here. We may have picked the wrong guy. Because, you know, I can already tell you, J-Mac, once you get there, you already know what the conversation is going to be. Well, you know, it took Drew Brees a little while to get himself going. He really didn't hit his stride until you already know what the conversations around it are going to be. And for me, it's like, listen, I know what being in Chicago adds to a player because the NFL looks at Chicago and goes, please be good. We need the eyeballs.
Yeah.
We want the Chicago eyeballs.
If that happens, we're all good. I'm going to be saying, you know, old school Menace to Society. Y'all probably haven't seen that movie where he's getting interrogated. You know you're the messed up, right? You know you're the messed up, right? So you drafted Caleb Williams at number one, right? You know you're the messed up, right? You know you're messed up, right? But at the end of the day, you know what? I think it is a possibility for Jaden Daniels to take that next step. You know, Cliff Kingsbury is coming back. The consistency is there. Dan Quinn is still the head coach. They're going to continue to build around him. I think, you know, I don't think he's the type of guy that will have a sophomore slump. I think he's wired differently. So obviously the game, it wasn't too big for him this year, as we see by the success that he had this year. So he's going to get better. He's going to get more comfortable. The scheme's going to get easier. Cliff Kingsbury is going to continue to develop ways to try to make sure that his quarterback can play fast and make plays. So with us, the biggest thing is now, you know, Ben Johnson, you're here for a reason. right? And that's to make Caleb Williams into the star that we envisioned him being when we took him at number one.
Yes.
So regardless of if you rip this offense down to the studs, when you rebuild it, it better be an offense that puts Caleb on that level, right? That puts Caleb Williams in the MVP conversation, that puts Caleb Williams, you know, in the top echelon of quarterbacks in this league, because that's what you drafted him to be. That's why you were so enamored and you brought Ben Johnson here, because you feel like him being the head coach and being the offensive mind that we've seen him to be the past few years, you feel like you have a guy that can build an offense that can make Caleb Williams successful. And that's, I mean, and that's what it's going to be judged upon. So, you know, it's Caleb and Ben tied at the hip right now. And, you know, you've got to, it's got to be right. It has to be, because if it isn't, guess what? A couple years from now, we're going to be sitting here doing this podcast, hopefully, and we're going to be talking about the same thing. Well,
what are your thoughts on Arch Manning
there, James? Like, who's out there, man? It's, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I think
the scenario you get to that is if you don't protect him this offseason. And I think that's the thing, J-Mac. I talked about this yesterday, and a lot of people were like, oh, well, Jaden's a year ahead. He's got all these things. But it's like, yes, but you brought Ben in to catch him up. And I do think that Caleb is the more talented quarterback. I do think that Caleb has more of the upside. I think he has a lot of what we're looking for in a quarterback. I think that, dare I say, he's got everything we're looking for, except maybe holding on to the football every now and then a little bit too long, right? But to me, if they're both in the conversation, Caleb's the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's my point in all of this. It's not, you know, if Jaden and Caleb are both in the MVP conversation and Jaden wins out because he did something here or made this happen. I think if they're both in the conversation, it is a, you know, we're sitting here scratching our head as we watch Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson go at it and go, wait a minute, but you should have gave him the MVP last year and him the MVP this year. Why? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think this would be a Caleb Williams wins the MVP conversation. If Jaden Daniels is leaps and bounds ahead and has taken that much of a step, then it's tough not to say you didn't pick the wrong guy. And it doesn't mean that he can't be still a good quarterback. It just means he's not the MVP of the league. He's not the offensive rookie of the year in the league, right? And there's a lot of nuance that goes into it. But when I see predictions like that, it's like, oof. If that scenario plays out, that may be worst case scenario for the Bears.
Yeah, and for the state of the Bears, I mean, just Caleb's got to play well. He's got to develop. He has to. You know, if not, it's going to set us back again. You know what I mean? And realistically, I mean, hey, Ben Johnson, you got to be the guy who we paid you, who we brought you in here and paid you to be. You've got to be the head coach that can help us take the next level. I mean, so, yes, is there pressure? Yeah, it is, and it should be. You know, we drafted you at number one to alleviate that pressure. We overpaid for a head coach to alleviate that pressure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just what it is. It's the NFL. You know, it's about producing right now. And I think that, you know, it's tough, but you hear Ben Johnson talk about win now. You got to win now. There's no redshirt year for a head coach that's getting paid the amount of money that Ben Johnson is getting and a highly coveted coach who we want here in Chicago. There is no redshirt year. So you cannot have the same win total that you had last year. You know what I'm saying? And we say, okay, well, it's his first year. No.
You can't have the same win total you had 2 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. So, you know what I mean? Like, is there pressure? Yes. The pressure is at an all-time high for Ben Johnson and Caleb. And Ben Johnson said, hey, I knew what I was getting when I took this job.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what I was getting myself into. So let's hope he has a plan. And obviously the Bears trusted the plan that he presented to them. That's why they hired him. But, hey, you know, I'm going to remain even keel, like I've been saying, and I want to go out there and see it, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, with the staff that he's brought in, with his mindset and his plan for this team, and him working in tandem with Ryan Poles and Kevin Waring, right, he's telling us they're going to spend, they're going to bring in the guys, money's not an issue. Well, guess what, Chicago? Let's see it. Let's stop talking about it. Let's see it. We've seen it with the coach.
Yeah.
Now let's see it in free agency. Let's see what we do in the draft. And let's see if we can get this thing going, or is it all just lip service? Because lip service is over, man. We've had that for years.
How many years can you have of, you know, we looked at the tape and we saw some of the issues. We got those fixed and y'all didn't hit the field yet.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's Monday.
Look, you tell me. we're tired of losing and we're going to build up the trenches and we're going to do this and do that. And you know what I mean? Like, so it's we'll see. You know, it's going to be exciting times coming up. We'll see if they put their money where their mouth is. They already done it with Ben Johnson, so let's see what they're doing for agency and via the draft.
Hopefully we get a breakout season, not just from Caleb Williams, not just from Aroma Dunze, who was also mentioned in the article. Go check out the ESPN NFL Experts article, solid article with some good predictions in there. Not just from Ben Johnson, from the Chicago Bears, because that's what this all is. You brought in all these coaches to bring in guys to fix the Chicago Bears, and I think you've got an opportunity to do that here. We'll hopefully we see some really aggressive moves and a really aggressive offseason from Ryan Poles and this Bears team. Hey, let's get up out of here, J-Mac. Appreciate y'all for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Hope to hear from you guys in the comments below. I'll be down there talking with you as well. And as always, man, we'll be back with another episode tomorrow, breaking down more Bears football, more offseason talk, and just maybe Ian Cunningham will be a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Duval.
Stay safe on the Chicago. Peace.